you're here gathered today to give God praise. And I don't know about you, but can't you feel the power of God in here already? Because if you've been residing with him and he's been residing with you, you take him wherever you go. Do me a favor and embrace at least one or two people and tell them it's good to see you in the house of the Lord today. Gives you praise, worshiping in spirit and in truth. Glory to the faithful one, Jesus Christ, my Son.
All creation cries to you.
Worshiping
in spirit and in truth.
Glory to the faithful one.
Glory to the faithful one.
Jesus Christ, God's Son.
Jesus Christ, God's Son.
Let's say it again. Come on. All creation cries to you.
All creation cries to you.
Worshiping.
Worshiping in spirit and in truth.
Glory to the faithful one.
Glory to the faithful one,
Jesus Christ, God's
Jesus Christ, God's Son.
God is great.
God is great, and his praise fills the earth, fills the heavens, and your name will be praised to all the world.
God is great.
God is great. Sing his praise, all the earth, all the heavens. Gives you praise.
You alone are truly great.
You alone are truly great.
You alone are God.
You alone are God who reigns
for eternity.
For eternity.
Let's say it again.
All creation gives you praise.
You alone are truly great.
You alone are truly great.
You alone are God who reigns.
You alone are God who reigns.
For
eternity.
Now here we go. Let's sing it as one big choir. God.
God is great, and his praise fills the earth, fills the heavens.
Teach us how to live. blessings. Let's sing it.
Holy is the Lord, the whole of things, the whole.
Then what could stand against? And if our God is for us,
then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? What could stand against? What could stand against?
Accepted. were condemned. I'm alive and well. The Spirit is within me. I knew you knew it. Say it. Come on out there. Come on, say it. I'm forsaken.
I'm forgiven.
Yeah.
Because you were forsaken. I'm accepted.
Care of the worship.
You are condemned.
I'm alive.
I'm alive and well. Your Spirit is within me because you died and rose again.
This time I want you to sing it till the roof comes off. Let's have a moment of word still. And let's honor God in this place. God, we love you. We bless you. The quietness is not eerie for us. It allows us to connect with you. You are our King and we love you. God, your presence is more than life to us. Someone in here that has a real hunger for God, I want you just to worship him right where you are. Come on, open up to him. Open up to him. God, we bless you in this place. You are our King. We bless you. Hallelujah.
Pre-service prayer with the pastors. This morning we asked, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do today? And you know, when you listen to the songs and you listen to what you're singing, some of you, I believe, without question, you're just discouraged. Maybe you've been slumped over in sin and you're mad at yourself, you're mad at your life. God just wants you to know that He loves you this morning. You know, honestly, this whole thing comes down to one simple principle. It's all about love. We can be as religious as we want. We can look as good as we want. But it all comes down to one thing. That is, Jesus loves you. Today, I just want you to really, we're going to sing that just one more time. And I want you to honestly just absorb the love of God. Some of you just need God to hug you. And you might be saying, well, that's kind of weird. No, honestly, you just need God to hug you, man. You just need God to affirm that you are His kid and you're special to Him. And you get that when you start to worship. He says He encamps around those who praise and worship Him. His angels do. He loves His presence is saturated in His worship. So today, if you're not used to worship, that's okay. You can sit, you can stand. Posture of a physical body means nothing. But I want you to close yourself off. If you've never worshiped before, maybe you've never done this before. This is an easy song. Why don't you maybe lift your hands? If you go half mass, you go half mass. But I want you to sing to Jesus. Even if you sing horrible, sing to Jesus. And let's get wrapped up in him. Amen. Amen, Ed. Amen. Let's get wrapped up in Jesus.
Your mercy.
Your mercy forever shall follow me. Your mercy forever, forever, you're my King.
Stay where you're at. Let's sing. I love you.
Thank you for your presence. God, it is not figurative, it is literal. Holy Spirit, what changes us from being religious people to those who really know you, God, is simply being in your presence. So Holy Spirit, I pray that today not one person will leave this room, even unbelievers, without saying, Jesus touched me. Holy Spirit, I ask that you come on us like a blanket this morning in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that people will feel even the tangible presence of the heaviness of your Spirit. Jesus, we need you. Lord, this life is too difficult without you. And we need, when we leave this place, to be so filled with you, Jesus. God, every need is being taken care of. Father, we cast off doubt and unbelief right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, those trials and tribulations that are in front of us that look almost absolutely impossible, we thank you, Jesus, that every one of them are possibilities with you. God, we call forth the God of the miraculous, our God, the supernatural, our God, our lover. And we just want you to know, we don't love you because of what you can do for us. We love you for who you are. We want to be filled with more of you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I worship you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. I worship you, sweet Holy Spirit. Oh, sweet Spirit of God. Tangible presence, Jesus. in the name of Jesus. Fill people with the Holy Ghost, God, even while they're sitting in their seat, while they're standing there, Lord. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. Oh, God, let that heavenly language just start to flow out of them this morning in Jesus' name. Fill us with the dunamis power, that Holy Ghost power of Pentecost. Jesus said, as we step our foot out the door and the battle seems to rage, Jesus will be just like that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We won't even smell like smoke. For if God is for us, and who could be against us? Thank you, Jesus. Victory in you. Victory in you, Jesus. Sweet, sweet Spirit of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Learning the mood of heaven is very important for you. What do you mean, the mood of heaven? You know, sometimes in God's presence, it's a hoopla. Wahoo! Sometimes it's the Spirit of God he just wants you to frolic. What does that mean? That means he just wants you to be so free of heart. It's not a shout. It's just a freedom in the Spirit. Just like a carefree sensation, that peace that passes all understanding. There are other times that God just wants to hold you. There are other times that the peace, there's just a quietness comes on the congregation. I've been in a congregation of 11,000 people before, and a hush came on the entire congregation. That was the very first time I'd ever heard angels move about. Each mood of God is important to learn. And sometimes we come to church, well, okay, yeah, you know, I'm a little late, I got to rush, I got to get there. We get here, and it's like, someone's sitting in my seat. And we miss the whole mood of heaven. I challenge you. Because, man, how horrible would it be to go to Daddy's house? He has steak for you, but you settle for a hamburger. Come on. I hate hamburgers, to be honest with you. They're never even cooked in my house. I don't like hamburgers, never have since I was a child. My family calls me un-American. But you see, I'd rather have a steak any day to a hamburger. Sometimes when we're not listening to the mood of God, we walk out with a hamburger. I went to church. It was good. It was all right. It was a good day. But baby, when you have a good steak, some mashed potatoes, you got to put a little hole in the middle of the mashed potatoes because you can put your corn in there. And you melt some butter. Come on now. Hallelujah. That steak is medium to medium rare. And when you don't even need a knife because you can cut it with a fork. That's called Banfield beef. Glory to Jesus. Come on now, you get done eating. You know what I'm talking about. You sit back in the chair. And it's just like, yeah. See, when you miss the mood, you ever eat and eat and eat and you're just trying to fill that hunger? You can't figure out what it is? So you always resort to Skittles. The rainbow. But you can never fill that hunger. That's what happens when you don't know the mood of heaven. You don't mind learning, do you? This is part of worship right here, learning. When you come to the house of God, say, Holy Spirit, what mood are you in? What do you want to do? Let me tell you something. You want to talk about getting wrecked in the Spirit. That's a good thing. I'm using new terminology. You want to get wrecked in the Spirit is when everybody's with one heart, with one accord. And all of a sudden, heaven goes, whew. And everybody goes, whoa. I never felt that before. I love praying for people who have never felt the presence of the Lord. I remember there was a young boy. He was probably 11 years old. He was standing right over here, and I walked over to him, and I laid hands on him, and I released the power of God. Whew, I felt heaven go, and he went just like this. I said, "It's real, isn't it?" He goes, some of you have never experienced that. And the reason is because you always stand aloof. You know what aloof is? You're just far enough away. Listen, if I want some loving from my wife, yes, amen. I can't stay aloof. I've got to go where she is. But watch, aloof. Some of you stand aloof from heaven. Hear me. This is your pastor teaching you something this morning. Listen, I don't have any problem sitting in the back. You know, you're not less of a believer if you sit in the back. But I do know this. In the front, it's a stronger anointing.
Yes.
It's nothing, no negative. It's just a reality. And the reason is because many times in the back, you get a little bit more distracted. You know, somebody's talking, somebody's passing gas in the back, you know, all that stuff. Can I challenge you not to be aloof? You wonder why people come around the altar. It's not because they're groupies. It's because they want to be closer to the presence of the Lord. And it's not that God is any different here than he is there, but the draw might be. You learning? Has anybody ever had a real well where you had to lower a bucket in it, get water? You got to draw from the well. When I was a kid, and I've told you this before, we in Phillipston, Massachusetts, there was a town pump right in the center of town. And I don't know how deep it was, but when we were done playing basketball, we would go to the town pump. And you'd have to go whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. You'd have to prime it. It's called priming the pump. You have to prime the pump. And then all of a sudden, you'd feel it gush. And the water would just whoosh. And let me tell you, it was cold. It was refreshing. And it was good enough to stick your head under when you're really hot. It took your breath away. It was so cold. When you come to church and you're not sure of the mood of God, you got to press in. Not stand aloof. And that way when you leave church, it's not like, yeah, it was a good service. He preached all right. But it was like, woo, I'm refreshed today. That was worth me getting out of bed. That was worth me. Come on. Some of you gave up stuff this morning. Somebody offered you to go on a bike ride. Some of you offered to stay in bed. Some of you just wanted a waffle. But you came to church. How sad it would be to never prime the pump.
Come on.
Amen?
Amen.
Is that all right? You don't mind me teaching sometimes? Listen, what this church has seen, I've seen far greater moves of the Holy Spirit. I've literally watched where hundreds of people go out in the Spirit at the same time. I've prayed for sections of people, and the entire section goes out in the Holy Spirit. I've watched people go out in the Spirit and be down 45 minutes, an hour, 2-3 hours at a clip. I've seen multiple sclerosis healed, brain tumors healed, breast cancers healed. I've seen families restored. In the presence of the Lord, there's nothing impossible. So the stronger we know his mood, the greater flow of God's presence will be in the building. I challenge you. Don't stand aloof. Amen? And don't be reserved. Well, you know, Pastor, I'm just one of those kind of people where, you know, honestly, I'm just, you know, I don't show emotions. You're a liar.
If I took you out in the middle of a pond and you couldn't swim, threw you out of the rowboat, and rowed away, you're not going to go, "I'm reserved. Help. Help." No, man. Help! Amen. It's time when you just got to put your pride in your back pocket. Can I hear an amen? Amen. And give God what he's due. Amen. Praise the Lord. On your way back to your chair this morning, why don't you just turn to two or three people and say, "I want more of Jesus. I'm going to get to know the mood of heaven."
Randall here. Want to invite you guys out this April 30th at 7 p.m. to our night of prayer. It's going to have a time of worship with you. We're going to have a time of prayer, and Pastor Redner is going to be bringing an awesome word by the Spirit of God, so I cannot wait. But you don't want to miss out on this supernatural encounter that will take place in your life. 7 p.m. Saturday night, April 30th. We'll see you there.
Ladies, stop by the Ministry Center today and pay for your reservation for the Women's Brunch. The event is Saturday, May 7th. Adult tickets are $20. Children 6 to 10-year-old is $11, and children under 5 are free. This is an awesome opportunity to honor the special women in your life. Stop by today and make your reservation.
I have an awesome opportunity for you to partner with Uproar Conference. We've broken it down. It costs about $50 per student, and we're so excited that you can play a massive part in this conference for years to come. What does that mean? That means $5, $10, $20 a month would be going towards conference to support a teenager. What you'd spend on Dunkin' one day, instead you're going to put it aside for conference. Everyone has an amazing opportunity to see a teenager's life change forever. So we would love to partner with you and your family. You can meet us right out front in the foyer after this service, and we'd love to get this started off.
Pastor Rod, you're a little late today.
I don't even know where you are, but we got a little caught up greeting everyone. It is my favorite part.
If you don't mind, I'd like to ask you a question. How many outfits did you try on this morning?
Oh, please don't even go there. My closet is completely emptied right now.
I left her at 4.
That's all right. It happens, doesn't it? We just want to greet our live stream audience this morning. Thank you so much for joining us from all over the place. We get reports that you're watching when you're on vacation. You're watching from your homes that are in different locations all over the place. So thank you so much for joining us. Do we have any first-time guests in the house this morning? If you are, if you could raise your hand, we'd love to get a gift to you. If you're a first-time guest in the house, just raise your hand up. We'll get a gift to you. Oh, awesome. Thank you. Welcome. Yes, thank you.
My hand's up. No one's coming to me.
Pastor Spencer, you've been here a very long time. Any other guest in the house this morning? Raise your hand up. We just want to get a gift in your hand. After the service, we have a guest reception for you. So Pastor Spencer and I would love to greet you. So immediately following the service, in this hallway, we have a guest reception where the pastors and ministers will be in there to greet you. So please come see us so we can welcome you and shake your hand and get to meet you personally. Thank you so much for coming. Well, Pastor has a bunch of stuff up here I think he intended to do, but he is still back there. So we have, I don't know how many, five decals for your car. If you would like them, go ahead and run up here real quickly and grab one. I have five. Give her one. Oh, Beth. Oh, somebody get Beth one.
Pastor Dan. Somebody get Beth a sticker.
And then is this product out at the table, Pastor Spencer? Huh? Okay, I'm just completely winging everything right now. He has some DVD sets. These are powerful. If you were here and remember the series that he did on the end times, wow, kept us fresh and awake that at any moment Jesus could return. So this is a great witnessing tool. Everybody's interested in end times. This is a powerful witnessing tool. Go ahead and get some of those. Casting out devils. Depression is not from God. Depression is not from God. That is a great series. Seeding for increase. This is the year of kingdom seed. It would be a great DVD set to get. We'll get a head start on probably some of his teachings later in the year. I did a 31-day devotional, living a wow life, 31 days of devotions. And then truth, a rock solid faith. I don't know if we're out of the blue ones. Pastor Spencer, are these the only ones we have?
That is the only one. How many do we have? This is the last Rock Solid Faith in
the
Red
Book.
If you would like to buy the blue book, it is on Amazon.com. Truth, a Rock Solid Faith on Amazon.com.
Awesome. I think I did everything.
Great. Hi, everybody. I'm just having fun today. I feel like I was in the South. Everybody's friendly in the South. We're excited that today you're in the presence of the Lord. We want to welcome our online campus. My wife just did that. I'm going to go sit down.
We don't need him to repeat all that I just did while he was still greeting in the congregation this morning. It is our favorite part. We absolutely love every single one of you. And if we could just take time to catch up with you and find out what was going on, we would love to do that. So that's why we get stuck out there sometimes and just can't get back up here. So this morning, we're going to enter into our time of tithe and offering. And as I was reading and studying in Genesis 28, before the law even came in, before it was written on tablets, before it was mandated, in Genesis 28, they said, I want to give a tenth, a tithe, a tenth of all of the land back to you, God. It was just out of a willing sacrifice. It wasn't because it was mandated. It was just because God was so awesome. He gave them everything, just like he's given us everything. They desired to give some back to him. And it was a tenth of all that they had they gave to God. The garden is much like that. The Garden of Eden, God created the garden and then he put Adam and Eve in the garden to be stewards over the whole thing. And that's what he is. He's the owner of everything. Every good and perfect gift, everything you have is because of God. So just like Adam and Eve in the garden, they were put there to be stewards over everything in the garden. But even in the garden, there was that portion that was set aside that was holy for God. It was that tree that they were not allowed to touch. So even in our lives, we're entrusted to be stewards of the whole thing, but God reserves that tenth as holy, as set apart for him. So we need to be good stewards with the 90%, but we need to make sure we're keeping holy the 10% for God. Maybe you've never tithed before. Maybe you've never given. I challenge you today to try God in this thing. When we honor him and give our tenth, our tithe, as holy to him, it changes everything about the 90% that we steward over. It is incredible. So if you've been frustrated with your money, if you've been discouraged and disappointed, watch God show up miraculous when you invite the miraculous by keeping holy that which is God's. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. We're going to make our supernatural declaration. This is simply the word of God. It's Deuteronomy 28, and it says, if I obey, I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and give your tithes and offering, that which is holy to the Lord this morning. If you're watching via live stream, click on the giving button and give right along with us.
God is great and his grace fills the earth.
The Lord. Today I'm excited to be in the presence of Jesus and his people. Why don't you turn to somebody and say, I'm happy to be where you are. This is the year of... Oh, that was so sad. I said, this is the year of. Much better, much better, much better. I'm excited today because we get to preach about the Word of God. How many of you love being successful? How many of you want to be failures? Dude, I just want to say thanks for the 308. Bullets, okay. It is exciting to be in the presence of the Lord where you can learn not just some religious jargon, but you can learn how to be successful in His presence. I want to be successful. How many of you know God's pretty successful? How many of you know God knows what He's doing? How many of you think that if God knows what He's doing, it's smart to listen to Him? Amen. So we talked all last year, and I always say this just to start off because we have guests in the house. And I want to remind you that last year we talked about kingdom. Seek ye first the and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The kingdom. You must understand the kingdom. And the principle we're covering this year is the seed. Everything you need is in the. When you're in need, it's time to. Oh, let me say it again. I'm going to get that out of your spirit. When you're in need, it's time to seed. There's a principle you've got to get in your spirit. Because what happens is when we get the heart and the mind of God, then we can get the results of God. And God has not left us so that we're deserted in a sad land with no hope. He's given us direction on how to be successful. Our verse for the year is Psalms 1, verse 3, and it says this, you shall be like a tree. Shout, I'm a tree. Come on, shout, I'm a tree. Planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Turn to someone and say, I'm a fruit-producing tree. Just tell somebody, you're a fruit. All right. Whose leaf shall not wither, which means you won't become weary in well-doing, which means you don't have to give up, which means you don't have to dry up and die. Whose leaf will never wither, and whatever he does shall fail. Whatever he does shall be minimal. Whatever he does shall prosper. This is an important principle because, again, there are many out there who preach against the prosperity doctrine. Had a young man come up to me and he said, well, I don't believe in the prosperity doctrine. I believe in, and he gave me a name of a guy. And he said, this guy preaches against prosperity, and I'm with him. I said, have you ever thought about what he lives in? And I said, you need to do a little research. He kind of lived in a $500,000 house. He drove around $100,000 plus cars. And the man who was preaching against prosperity was prospering pretty good by preaching against prosperity. You see, if you don't believe in prosperity, sell all that you have, move into a box, and give it to the kingdom. So turn to someone and say, I believe in prosperity. God wants you to prosper in all things and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. So the Word of God is so powerful. We're going today into Matthew chapter 13. This is going to take 2 weeks to get to. So I want to challenge you to cancel whatever you already have planned for next week to be in the house of God. I didn't get a really good response on that, but I'll shoot for that one more time. That is, cancel everything you're doing next week and be in the house of God. Amen. God's house is priority in your life. It's amazing how many people can give God their leftovers. In fact, most of the time, not even leftovers. I believe the King of Kings and Lord of Lords deserves at least an hour and a half a week. Well, we'll move on. Last week, we talked about how much of a unique seed you are. Turn to someone and say, you are unique. The Bible calls you peculiar. It's important to recognize that you and I, as the seed, the DNA is in the seed. When you've been born again, blood washed by Jesus Christ, you now have God Himself living inside of you by His Holy Spirit. Therefore, the DNA of heaven is now resident within you, for you're now called a child of God. When you become a child of God, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You now have stepped into a new genetics. The new genetics is that of heaven. We need to recognize you get what you believe. For you, as a man thinks, so he. When a man came up to me one day and he says, well, I'm going to die in my 50s because all my relatives have, I said, well, God bless you. Because so as he thinks, he is. And as he is, he speaks. And out of the abundance of the heart, as it speaks, we know that life and death are in the power of the tongue. You see, this is not lingo or jargon. You must be careful what comes out between your lips. Amen. And today I want to remind you how powerful a seed you are. You see, Jesus was the seed of heaven. The Bible says in John chapter 12, verse 24, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies," turn to someone and say, "You got to die." Come on, tell somebody, "You got to die." "It abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit." It doesn't say it brings forth fruit. It brings forth much fruit. I want to remind you about the verse for the year, Psalms 1:3. "You shall be like a tree planted by the water." Where does a tree come from? A seed. What happens when the tree grows to a maturation or maturity process? It brings forth fruit. Inside every piece of fruit is seed, the same DNA. And you see, the prosperity comes through the reproduction and the duplication and the multiplication of who you are in your seed that God has already planted within your heart. This is why some of you are so spiritually frustrated, because you've never allowed the seed to die. You're still living your own life. You're still living and doing exactly what you want. You're still acting out how you used to act and how you used to live. You cannot fathom giving your heart fully to Christ. You do want to be saved. You don't want to go to the lake of fire, but yet you don't want to die. And today I challenge you, it's time to die. It's time to allow Jesus. It's time to trust Jesus with your life. He will not destroy you. He'll only build you. And if God builds you, you'll know you'll be like the tree that's planted by the water, that will bring forth its fruit in its season, and whose leaf shall never wither, no matter what trials, no matter how hot, whatever you do shall prosper. You see, this is the principle of the seed. Unless we recognize that we too are seed, then we're never going to plant ourselves correctly. I find this a lot. I find this, and I do a lot of leadership training. What I find in leadership training is that people hang around people they shouldn't be hanging around and get into the wrong dirt. When you get into the wrong dirt, there's no way for the seed to reproduce. Therefore, they are saved. They love God. But they've never surrendered themselves, and they're frustrated in their walk with Jesus because they've never truly, never truly surrendered their lives to the Lord. Now, the scary part about that is if we look at some verses that are very strong, and it says this, that if you are lukewarm, he is going to vomit you out of his mouth. The Bible says that you cannot be, he said, "I'd rather be hot or cold. But because you're lukewarm, I'm going to projectile vomit." That's the actual Greek word, is projectile vomit you out of my mouth. See, there's a recognition that needs to come to our mind that this is not a club. I said, this is not a club. This is not something you need to join. This is a lifestyle of living for Christ. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Allowing your seed to die so that it can bring forth fruit. You see, when it's you and I living, then we hinder the very opportunity that God has for us. So unless we recognize the importance of our life being a seed, then we'll never, with understanding, truly plant for success. Now, I want to remind you, in the beginning of the year, we taught this, that you never plant for the now. You plant for the harvest you're believing for. So many people live hand to fist. We live the moment. Living by moments are very dangerous because at any moment, your seed can be destroyed. At any moment, things cannot work out the way you desire, and you have not planned for the future. You see, today I challenge you to be a planter for the future, to see what kind of harvest you want next year, to see what kind of harvest you want in 5 years, to see what kind of harvest you want your life to be in a decade. You see, and that's what you start planting for. What you're sitting in was seeded by people who saw without even being in the building. You see, that is called faith. Faith is calling those things which are not as though they already are. God desires you and I to be seed that listens and understands that where we plant ourselves will determine the prosperity of that plant. Some of you are in the building and you love God. You've been coming to this church a decade, But yet there are people that have been saved in this church less than 3 years that are more spiritually mature than you. And it's not that God loves anybody more than anybody else. But what happens is not everybody wants to plant their seed in the right ground. So what they're doing is, whether it be ignorance or intellect, they're choosing to hinder the DNA that God has for you, which is not weakness, but is greatness. And therefore, we stop allowing ourselves, because of our emotions, our soulish realm, we stop allowing ourselves to plant where we know we must be purposed. Now, I hope you're getting this, because this is really good stuff. When you learn to plant with purpose, you learn to get the harvest that you're believing for. When you recognize that you are the seed, and where you plant your seed and what ground you place it will determine the production and reproduction of the seed that will turn into a tree that turns into what? That turns into fruit that will then duplicate itself. We already showed you that even in the thoughts of our minds, we are affecting to the fourth generation scientifically. There's a need to grasp ourselves. There's a need to grab ourselves and recognize I am the seed of heaven, and God has placed me at this time in this order and in this region to do mighty works for him. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 9, verse 9, and behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, being born again, not of the corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Our lives do not become fruit until we decide where we're going to plant the tree. Now, there's some devastating things happening in our world today. It's interesting, talking to folks from the South. We have folks from the South out here. And I was just talking to them. I'm flabbergasted. And even I'm just going to say this because it's on my spirit. How many sports are now on Sunday morning for the children? And I was talking to somebody in the South, and this is what they told me. In the South, what would have happened is if they 11 o'clock sports, They would have had to throw in the towel because no one showed up. They all still went to church. But in the North, what's happening is we're training up our children that God is important only as long as you got nothing else to do. So we're teaching our children not to plant themselves in the correct loom, in the correct soil. So therefore, our children, who many times are a little bit less than we are in our passion, will have even less passion than you, therefore their children will never go to church. This is why we're looking at a generation now where many of the children in this generation have never been to church, not even for a funeral or for a wedding, because most of those are done at venues. You see, there's a need to identify that you are the seed of God, and where you plant yourself is going to determine the generations that are going to come after you. We can never live for ourselves. We must live for the generations. We can never live for ourselves. We must live for the generations. We can never live for ourselves. We must live for the generations. We can never live for ourselves. We've got to live for the generations. You can have all the seed you want. You can have all the seed that you desire. You can have a piece of corn that, when planted, produces over 800 kernels. But the fact is, until you find some dirt, you just got a kernel of corn. You've got a seed that is not died to itself. You have a seed that is running on its own momentum. And what it is encapsulated. Until you surrender your life totally to Christ, you've encapsulated your life. You've not allowed the DNA to truly brood. And when you do, I want to share something with you. Some of you are afraid that you're going to lose yourself when you truly give all of yourself to Jesus. When you actually abandon yourself in the loom of God. When you actually abandon yourself in the dirt of heaven. When you actually abandon yourself in the plan of God. Surrendering your life, there will be fulfillment beyond what your mind could even contemplate to this very moment. But many of you are afraid to step into that because you're afraid to lose things. God will never take it without replacing it with greater. You see, dirt has amazing things. Did you realize that everything that you have comes from dirt? It's really interesting when you look at it. How many of you know man came from dirt? Woman didn't come from dirt, but man came from dirt. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 says this, "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the field and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being." I want to show you this real quickly. You see, a lot of us don't recognize that God is a scientist. He created science. When you look at dirt, it's amazing to recognize how man has come from dirt. 59 to 60% of all man is made up of comes out of dirt. Interesting, isn't it? Oxygen, 61%. The role in breathing, metabolism. Carbon, 23%. Virtually every part of the body is made up of molecules based within the carbon chains. Hydrogen, 10%. Critical component of water and other hydrogen bonds. Stomach acid, hydrogen and chlorine allows digestion, therefore absorption of the elements. Many chemical reactions that makes life possible involve hydrogen ion. Nitrogen, 2.6%. Your body digests nitrogen and makes it into energy. Nitrogen can be obtained by eating plants or from animals that eat plants. Calcium, structure of bones and teeth. Phosphorus, structure of bone and teeth, rebuilding of red blood cells. Potassium, major electrolyte of blood and cellular fluid. Sulfur, 0.20%, elements of essential amino acids. Sodium, major electrolyte of blood and cellular fluid, requires the maintenance of pH and water balance. Chlorine, major electrolyte of blood and cellular fluid, balance of pH and water, using imbalanced electrical charges in your nervous system. Magnesium, importance in bone structure. Silicon, which is essential nutrients of healthy bone metabolism. Iron, contained in food, required for oxygen transportation and transport. Fluorine, oh my goodness, we can go through the list. Copper, aluminum, magnesium, iodine, selenium, that's the word. Molybdenum. Chromium, cobalt. I love this. What are the scientific proof that man's body came from the dust of the ground, as the Bible says? The human body is made up of materials and minerals found in the surface of the ground and not from the core of the earth. Oxygen, being the most abundant element on the earth's crust or on the ground, makes up 65% of the human body, and carbon, and also abundant with the topsoil of the ground, is 18%, and hydrogen is 10%. The 59 elements found in the human body are all found in the earth's crust, which is amazing because what the Bible says perfectly match the scientific composition of the human body. Biological engineers from Cornell University, Department of the Nanoscale Science in New York State, believe clay might be the birthplace of all life on Earth. You see, God is not one who makes mistakes. And the principles of heaven, why did I say that? Because I want you to realize that God never creates a law that he doesn't follow. Let me say it again. God never creates a law that he does not follow. So if you and I desire to go against the laws that even God himself will follow, then how can we anticipate success? Let me say it again. If God himself follows the principles of the seed and of dirt,
then how do we believe and how can we concoct in our own mind, how can we be so delusioned to believe that I can do whatever I want and become prosperous? If God lives it, we've got to live it. If it's good enough for heaven, it's good enough for you. Can I hear an amen? And so in everything, earth plays a massive role. Many people don't even realize, but all the birds and the animals were created out of dirt. It's found in Genesis chapter 2, verse 19. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air. Everything you and I have, everything you're wearing right now, your cell phones. How many of you got one of those? Shine on, baby. How many of you got glasses on? Everything you have on your body right now has come from dirt. All wealth comes from dirt. Gold comes from dirt. Gas, oil, all the major components. How many ladies got a diamond on your finger? Not all the men bought their wives diamonds. I had one, I was asking one couple, I says, you know, when you guys get married? She said, when he buys me the right diamond. I said, I'd buy her a $300 diamond. I behave myself. Everything that we consider wealth, how many of you like gold? Everything that you and I have, how many of you have a dollar bill or at least a dollar bill in your pocket? It came from dirt. Where's a dollar bill come from? A tree. Where's a tree come from? Where's the seed got to be planted? Everything we have that we consider prosperous comes from dirt. So dirt is a principle of God, not just the seed. One thing you'll recognize is that the Bible says that God went and planted a garden called Eden. Won't you hear that? God lives by the principles that he sets for you and I to live. God not only said seed time and harvest and it will reproduce out of its own kind. God not only says that dirt is where all the wealth is and that's how he even created mankind. But God then himself, oh, I love this. God then himself proves that he lives what he preaches because God did not go, let there be garden, and there was. God went and planted a garden called Eden. In that, God is showing us that you and I, who are the creation, we must follow the same principles that the Creator lives. And when we decide that we don't want to live what the Creator says, we cannot be shocked when our lives are catastrophic. Well, my life is pretty good right now, preacher. I got all the money I need. I got my family. And baby, it can change and shift in seconds. When everything you have is based on what man can produce, you are in serious trouble. Because you have no solidity, you have no stability. There's only one thing that does not change, and that is God himself. There's only one thing that does not change, and that is who you are in Christ. There's only one thing that does not change, is God's word. He said, I hold my word even above my name. And when God made the declaration that he went and planted a garden, that means God took seeds, and God put them in a place that was called dirt. And out of the dirt created a garden for man to enjoy. And I'm here to tell you, God has a garden for you. God has a place for you, and it's time to say to yourself, I'm going to die. I'm going to be a corn of wheat, and I'm going to die, and I'm going to let God live through me. And when God lives through you, baby, you're going to have that garden you've always desired. You see, I'm not interested in preaching nice little sermonettes. But when I do that, I can be an evangelist. I want to see what God is planning here. And what God is planning here is a group of believers that are going to transform this region. We are not here to have a church in a cornfield. We're here to reproduce. We're here to plant the kingdom of heaven. We're here to ramp and ravage the devil's domain. We're here to take back what the devil has stolen. We're here to bring hope to families. We're here to cast out devils. We're here to bring healing and restoration to families. We're here so that Elmira, so that Chemung County and the surrounding regions will say, thank God there's a church up there at 16 Level Acres Drive. They're bringing and change in every dimension of our lives because their people, the people of God, are infiltrating. This is who you and I are called to be. But no matter who you're called to be, doesn't mean you'll get it. And this is the problem. The problem isn't that the plan isn't there. The problem is that God's given us the greatest, worst thing that he could ever do. It's called free will. Every one of us in this room have free will. It means we can tell God to take a dive and bug off. Or we can say, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised from the dead, you shall be saved. That choice is nobody else's. Somebody might have brought you today, and this is your very first week, and you're going, oh my goodness, I'm out of here. But that's your choice, and I'm cool with that. Because I don't got to stand with you at judgment. You got to stand by yourself. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Old statements. But each one of us are the seed. And you've got to determine what kind of harvest you want in your life. That means, what ground are you placing your seed in? That means, who are you hanging with? Are you spending time in the Word every day? Are you having a little talk with Jesus and not just because you're in trouble? Each person determines the fruit production that they'll have. You know, one of the interesting things is I used to work at what's called the Red Apple Farm. I used to ride my bicycle 3 miles one way, uphill, barefoot, pregnant in the middle of winter. One way. But I used to work at the apple farm, and one of the things that was mandatory for these apple trees is they had to produce. If the tree didn't produce, they cut it down. You know, they worked on it for a while, but if it didn't produce, they just destroyed it. Why? Because it's taking room. It's taking up space in the dirt. Do you know there's one thing that's never going to be recreated again? Dirt. What's here is here. That's why if you buy land, you're smart. Because it's never going to be recreated. That's why somebody paid $1,000 an acre for a piece of property and now it's worth $1 million. Oh, that's very true. Down in Long Island, an acre of property is $1 million or more. Back in the old days, it was just farmland. Land is never going to be recreated. It's the one thing. Soil is never going to be recreated. It's the one thing. It is there. It is never going to stop. It's never going to leave. So what you have of it, you have. And where you plant, you get. I'm almost done. There are four different types of dirt. You have what's called hard, callous, wayside dirt is what the scripture calls it. The next one is called stony dirt. The next kind is called thorny dirt, and the next kind is called good dirt. If our lives are seed, where we plant the seed and in what dirt determines your fruits. I got to read that. Come with me. Matthew chapter 13, starting with verse 18. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. By the way, Jesus taught this. Who is Jesus? Jesus is God. He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus could not contradict the scripture. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus said, I only do what the Father has told me to do. I only say what the Father has told me to say. So Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So when Jesus makes a declaration, he's reaffirming heaven's kingdom principles. Anyone who hears the word of the kingdom, of the what? Kingdom, and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes, snatches away what was sown in the heart. And this is he who received the seed by the wayside. Watch now, this is how it works. So here you have some dirt. Here you have some seed. If I took this out right now and planted it, in a little bit you'd start seeing fruit come from the seed. But depending upon the dirt that you plant your life in, some of you still hang out with your old friends. You're not ministering to them. When you hang around them, you become exactly who you used to be. Some of you still go to the bars. Well, there's nothing wrong with having a beer. Well, guess what? Ask a sinner. They'll tell you. Sinners will have no problem telling you what's right and what's wrong. In fact, some people won't ever be saved because you still go to the bar. Don't try to guilt me. I'll just drink it at home. The issue has nothing to do with that. The issue has have no what? Show no what? No, no. Don't show anybody what you don't want them to live. You see, if you're living the old life that you used to live, if you're acting the same way you used to live, if you're going to the same places you used to live, then what change has been made in your life? Do people even know you're a Christian at work? Well, you know, I'm private. If you deny me before man, I'll deny you before the Father. Because there should be a manifestation of difference. So this is a person who comes to the kingdom. They come to church on a Sunday morning. They hear a message, the message of salvation. And what happens is they don't understand it. Well, I don't understand this Christianity stuff. Well, I don't understand this God stuff. What's he talking about that we're soil and we're seed? I don't understand that. So the message gets in their life. The message touches the ground. But because the soil is hard, the Bible says Satan comes and steals that seed. If you're seeing no change in your life, you got to ask yourself, what am I doing wrong? You see, because the seed has automatically been programmed to produce fruit. It's an automatic program. It's nothing you have to sit down with. You need to grow now. I know you're a seed. Hello? You are a corn seed. Yes, yes. Now, if it talks back to you, let me know. We'll do deliverance. Yes, you're a corn seed, and you know you're supposed to grow. So when I put you in the ground, can you imagine doing that to a whole field if you're a farmer? Life is already alive in there. It's already waiting to bust loose. Your life is already waiting to bust loose. Your vision is already waiting to come to fruition. God's plan for your life is yea and amen, and it is phenomenal, abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. God's got great things for you. God's got prosperity for you. God's got, man, where you're going to lead many souls to heaven. But if you just, if you're not going to be wise where you plant, then why are you shocked when you got nothing. The next one's very interesting, and I'm done with this. Here we go. He who receives the seed on stony places is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. But he has no root in himself. But endures for a little while, and when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately stumbles. Here we go. You hear the word. It gets into the soil. It starts producing. But what happens is this. Life happens. Man, your wife, your husband, your family members, your best friends, your co-workers look at you and say, what are you, some stupid religious freak now? What's wrong with you? You give money to the church? You go to church every week? What is wrong with you? Man, I liked you better when you were a drunk. I liked you better when you were a partier. I liked you better when persecution starts coming into your life. Oh, you go to that His Tabernacle, don't you? Yeah, that's a cult. You know all about it. They've never even donned the door. Persecution comes to your life, and it's not that there was not a plant that was growing, but you did not choose to be consistent with church. You did not choose to go to Rock Solid Faith. You did not choose to get discipled. I don't have time. Oh, time is seed. 168 hours a week. And so what happens is when times get rough, your roots aren't deep enough. So when trials or tribulations come in your life, you die. Sadly enough, I've been a pastor for, well, I guess it's not sad that I've been a pastor. But I've been a pastor for almost 29 years. I could have filled this church at least 5 to 6 times on a Sunday morning with the amount of people that have come forward to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, yet have decided not to plant their seed in good ground. See, today, you can't blame anybody else for where you are in Christ. You can't blame your situation. You can't blame your mama. You can't blame your daddy. Well, you know, I got to go find a different church. Oh, baby, it's not the church's problem. The issue is that what are you doing with the soil? If we went and took a test of your soil today, do you really want God? Are you really after God? Are you spending time with God? Are you pursuing God? Or is this just good religion to make yourself feel just good enough so that you think yourself going to heaven? But I'm here to tell you, God is not interested in starting a religion. He came to build a relationship with people. He came so that you can walk with Him and talk with Him. And what Adam and Eve had, you can have restored. And that is, you can know Him, know His mood, know His passion, feel His heart, and do His bidding. I'm here to tell you today that God has saved you, not of yourself, for you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, that have called you. I've called you to bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and whatsoever the Father. This is not about religion, and I think that's what a lot of people have a misconception about. Are you one of these? Are you one of these? Because if you are, man, you got to change your soil. You don't just change soil by saying, I'm going to keep living the same way. You change soil by having sometimes to dig up the old stuff to put in the new stuff. What is God asking you to change in your soil? If a pH test was done in your life, what would you need to add to the soil or extract from the soil to make it successful? This is the difference between somebody who's going to be successful in the kingdom and someone who's just going to make it by. Maybe it's just me. But there is no stinking way in heaven or in hell that I'm going to live half-cocked. This is all the way for Jesus. Listen, if I'm going to live for the devil, I'm not going to be a good, nice person. If I'm going to hell, baby, I'm going well. But if I'm going to live for Jesus, I don't want this dirt. I don't want this dirt. I want the best. Because my life is not an accident. I'm a person of great purpose, and so are you. And you might be saying, I can't preach behind them. God might not have told you to preach behind the pulpit, but you might be a toe, you might be an ear, you might be an eye. But the entire body, when it works together, it performs the greatness of heaven, and God's kingdom come. His will be done on heaven as it is in earth. And God changes us. He makes us, and we truly bring transformation. Jesus brought transformation to Jerusalem. Jesus brought transformation to Samaria. Jesus brought transformation to the known world. How? Because the seed of heaven was planted in the garden of heaven and it died. But one day I want you to know that even if it dies, it will rise again. And when Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, you and I are now the next set of seed. What ground will you have? I challenge you this week. I'm done. Preach too much. What has to change in your life? What dirt has to change? What part of the dirt has to change in your life? You know, it's a horrible feeling. It's very easy to look at somebody else and say, well, you got problems. How many can see at least one problem in the person sitting next to them? Not hard, is it? But how many can look at yourself and say, what has to change with me? Because until you make that decision, you're determining the soil. And the sad part is the DNA of that seed. There's nothing worse than having a corn stalk about this high that has nothing on it. Or a corn stalk even this high that has one of those ears of corn on there that doesn't mature and is worthless. God has called you and I to be 10 stinking footers. At least 3 ears of corn from each corn planted. And for you and I to be so fruitful that people will come up to your life and go, I'm hungry. You see, the reason we produce fruit is not for ourselves, but for others to enjoy. So when there is no fruit in your life, how can anybody enjoy you? Let that one ponder. Father, in the name of Jesus, today we ask you to change our lives. Lord, I prayed that this morning with the pastors. Change our lives, God, first. We need to be transformed, Jesus, into your image. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, the very first place to start is to ask him to be your Lord. What does that mean? That means you're going to take your corn, your seed, and give it to him. Jesus, change me. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, you've never accepted him in your life, or you're in a backslidden condition, you're not sure today if you're going to heaven. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. And I want you to know that when you yield yourself to him, man, your life's going to be good. I didn't say it's always easy, but if God's for you, who can be against you? Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, you want him in your life, I want you to raise your hand up right now. Not going to wait long. Come on, get your hand up. 5. Come on, get your hand up. 4. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, young man. Anyone else? Come on. 5, 4, 3. Come on, get your hand up. 2. Last call. Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else? Last call. 1. Back row. Thank you. Thank you, folks. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. A lot of people now are choosing to change their life. And I want you to be assured of this, that Jesus will change you from this day forward. This is not a religious experience. This is a supernatural seed planting and harvest experience.
Today, you're going to have a life change. If you raise your hand for salvation, and I know that you weren't expecting this, but that's okay. You'll be strong. You'll be all right. Everyone here walked up the aisle who's born again. I want you to come meet me right up over on this side. I want you to meet me right over near the good ground, right over here. Come on, meet me at the good ground. Come right out of your chair. Meet me right now at the good ground. Come on, come on, come on. Get out of your chair. Please, come, 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 come. Yes, come on. Awesome, awesome, awesome. If you raise your hand, come on, be brave. Come on, people are coming right now. Let's go. Awesome. Thank you so much. I know there are more. I watched your hands go up. I don't want you to not have what God has for you. Well, I don't like to be embarrassed. Oh, my goodness, this is not embarrassing. This is exciting. We're excited for you. Hallelujah. If you need prayer, I'm going to have the prayer team come up now as well. The prayer team will please come. I'm so proud of you.